Fear of failure. What if this goes wrong? What if nothing changes and we stay stuck?
All right, you industrial warriors, that is Alex Vorobeef, and we're going to be talking. I know. I don't like failing. I don't like that feel of failure. I don't like to be thinking like nothing changes and I'm stuck. But you know what? Alex has the answers. In his book, boom, if you're looking out there, we've got Transform Your Company. Alex is up next on the Industrial Talk podcast. Enjoy the interview.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, you industrial warriors from all around the world, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm Scott McKenzie, and I am so glad that you are here. We celebrate you. The industrial professional, the human power of industry. This is where it happens. We highlight the best of the best within the industrial world, and I'm so glad that you have joined the Industrial Talk Podcast. We got a lot to cover. We've got a lot to cover because we're going to be talking to a gentleman by the name of Alex. Going to hang tight with the old name, Vorobeef. I hope I got that one going right, but I did in the interview. So hang tight. We've got a lot to cover, so thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Let me fade that out. Okay, here is a cool. So, we just finished up the holidays. I got a gift. And if you're into flavor, I'm into flavor. If you're into deliciousness, I think that's a word, right? I'm into deliciousness. So, I got this pack. Really, it's a box. And it's Jack Link's Thick Cut Bacon. If you're out there on my YouTube channel, you get to see it. That is a must buy. That is an industrial approved food. It's delicious and it has protein, but boy, does it have flavor. So I highly recommend that big time because, I don't know, you can never have enough bacon in your life. I hope I'm not offending anybody, but boy, I'll tell you, it is absolutely delicious. As alluded to briefly, I was out and I was doing some reliability radio podcasts. I was at the conference sponsored by those wonderful people at Reliability Web. And I want to make sure that if you have any interest whatsoever in the reliability space, asset management, maintenance, whatever that might be, you need your first stop. It has to be, your first stop has to be going out to Reliability Web, looking around, rooting around, because they've got the answer for you. And if you're interested in reliability, asset management or maintenance, AI, blah, whatever it might be, that would be the place to go first because they're there. They're committed to your success. They're committed to providing the content and information you need to be great in that profession. So anyway, Reliability Radio 2 has interviewed a number of those professional people. Incredible. Incredible thinkers and passionate. My goodness, passionate about reliability. Oh, my gosh. So let's get the show on the road here.
Tailgate talk number one.
Okay. So the first thing out of the box, I contacted this gentleman named Alex Ostenwilder. And in fact, he's an author and he published a number of books. But the ones that I'm very interested in and I think that you need to be interested in is Business Model Generation. That's one. Value Proposition Design and Business Model U. I'll tell you, that was that was an incredible book because whenever I start to lay down a business model, I use his model. I go through his process and I use his book and the canvas associated with that, as well as the value proposition because, you know, bottom line, we want to move more of our product, right? And so I've used that tool a number of times. Great book, illustrated, absolutely fantastic. So anyway, I'm very, very pleased with that gentleman.
Number two.
All right. Once again, I'm going to allude to the Industrial Academy. Go out to industrialtalk.com. Find Industrial Academy. This is where we're going to be putting together a really nice program that highlights the best of the best within the industrial space. And it'll be a training program, and you can get yourself into leadership, sales and marketing, operations, finance, and I think technology, maybe not in that order. But in our industry, you know as well as I do, technology is changing drastically. So we got to keep ahead of that. Sales and marketing, we're always interested. And I mean, we're always interested in doing more, increasing our sales, increasing our market share. So it's all out there. And go on out there, look around, It's no big deal. Okay, there's a pop-up. And the pop-up is just me explaining the website, so don't worry about it. It's just me, you know, bloviating on why this site is and this platform is so great. So there you have it. It's my plug. So let's get into the interview right now. This is was a really enjoyable interview. He's got a published book, and if you're out there on YouTube, there it is. It's called Transform Your Company, Escape Frustrations, Align Your Business, and Get Your Life Back by Alex Vorobieff. That's V-O-R-O-B-I-E-F-F. I hope I got it right. Great guy. He's got a podcast out there, too, called Confident ROI. He also has a magazine out there. And Confident ROI, discover the right tools to improve your company. Wealth of knowledge, wonderful gentleman. And I pull out this one thing. I think this is in his book. So when I was reading his book, I really got a kick out of the reference here associated with canoeing revelations. And so he was struggling with something, and he was listening. He was at Disney, and he was listening to the individual talk about how to row properly. And three of the things that he points out here is that never stop rowing, right? If you don't row, you don't move forward. So let's all move. Let's keep rowing. No splashing, and don't stand up in a canoe. Very teetery, right? So anyway, instead of hearing me talk about it, let's get on with Alex and get a little bit more information. And so thank you once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I will see you on the other side of the interview. All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I got to tell you, man, I'm excited about this particular interview. We've been playing a little tag here and there. He just comes from Idaho. He hails from Idaho. And I'm going to sit there and try to really butcher his last name. I got his first name. His first name is Alex. His last name is Vorobieff. Did I get it? Vorobieff.
Absolutely.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, welcome, Alex. I appreciate you finding time in your busy schedule all the way from Idaho. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be on Industrial Talk.
Who wouldn't be? And that's for you listeners out there. If you want to be on Industrial Talk, it's fun time. Okay, well.
If you get through the gauntlet to get on. It's not, you can't just walk on the show. You got to go through a process.
You're right about that. We're all about the quality of content and the individuals, and we want to make sure that we provide listeners with the very best, and that's why you're on it, Alex.
I'm excited.
Okay, here's the deal. I want to hear something unique, something human about Alex that will, I don't know, tweak the interests of the listeners and saying, he's more than just a smart guy. He's human. So what is that? Talk to me.
Well, I'm an only child. I was an only grandchild. I'm married to an only child. And guess how many kids I have?
Five.
They probably would have lost me at two. I remember we have one. And I remember, and we have a great daughter, and she was so easy. But I remember like 6-7 months in, I think it was like the fourth or fifth time, maybe she woke us up in the evening, and I was just like, this is the last one. There's just no way I could handle more
on.
Of this.
You have a little courage, baby.
I was going to do the operation myself that night. Yeah. I'm like, no, this is it. Just that's all I can handle is one.
Okay. So I will make this interview very, very simple and easy for you because apparently you can't handle the stress.
Well, and that's, you asked what humanized me. I grew up, both my parents work. So I spent a lot of time alone. And so it's been a challenge in business and working with groups. And so I've had to work at it. I was sort of remedial team member. I like to work hard. I like to figure things out. But I never dealt with a dysfunctional family or five brothers and sisters that it was always foreign to me, this whole thing of stop touching me. That anytime I was around families, they were like, stop touching me, mom. And so I just wasn't used to like people doing what they wanted to do.
Oh, yeah, man.
And so that to me has had a big impact on a lot of things in my life.
Oh, very good. Well, hey, I'm out of here on LinkedIn. I'm looking at your stat card here. And I keep on getting things popping in. Sorry, if you hear that out there, it's my computer blinking in. So anyway, what we've got Alex. He's got quite an impressive stat card. Why don't you give everybody just the high-level view of why Alex Vorobyev, I did it again, didn't I, man? I've nailed it.
You nailed it.
Yeah, I know. Is a solid professional and why listeners need to be hearing this podcast.
The Industrial Talk. That's where you come to get good pronunciation of names. A Slavic.
Yeah, let's put it this way. You haven't heard about the other interviews that I've just absolutely took out the chainsaw and butchered the name.
You know, my name's been butchered so many times. It's like, who cares? And if you're out there and you get upset because people butcher your name, get over it.
So yeah, give us a little background on who you are and where you come from, and outside of the fact that you're a Trojan and a Bruin all in one.
Yeah, not simultaneously. So I started out as an accountant, and I like numbers. And when I was in school, there was a big recession, and I wanted to get a job. And so accounting was a place to go. And I became a CPA and basically started in cleaning up the real estate mess and the savings and loan mess in the early 90s.
Yep.
And I did a couple decades of cleanup work and figuring things out, what companies were worth and where they were losing money. And over time I learned, ended up doing it myself and for companies, that I was just dealing with the symptoms of bigger issues. And ended up running a company for one of my clients and trying to run a business and learning. Maybe I didn't have all the skills necessary. And how do you organize people? How do you get them on the same page? It's not by talking louder or sending more emails that are more.
Whoa. That's what I do. You're saying I'm doing it wrong because I am loud and I just send a lot of emails. No, you're right about that. I'm just.
They don't teach us. You know, it's one of the things when you're in a bigger family, you kind of learn how to deal with different personalities and how to get people to do things and that. So I was remedial in that. And learning that over time, I realized I was treating the symptoms. And okay, how do you change things for why a company's not performing well? And that took me down the rabbit hole of getting people on the same page. A lot of times these companies, they didn't have answers to important questions like, what's important for this company to succeed? What do we really do? Who's going to do what? So it ended up, as I work with companies and implementing all these business improvement tools, you know, what's the right order? And I ended up hitting this wall of what happens when people don't want to make change? What happens when they don't want to hear, hey, this ain't working? And something, it's either the people, the processes, the product, the pricing. What happens when they don't want to go there?
Now, let me ask you this, because I think this is real pertinent to the conversation. In our conversation, you indicated that you had a little particular earth-changing or life-changing experience at Disneyland. Can you explain a little bit why that was so important?
You bet. I would always get really involved with clients and working on things and cleaning them up and inevitably helping them try to take them next level. But I'd also get frustrated. And I had a great ability to bring that home with me. And one Saturday we went to Disneyland, my wife and daughter, and we went early and I was just grinding on it in my head. It wasn't working. The business wasn't working. We were stuck. It was dysfunctional. My wife and daughter said, we're going to go on a ride. Why don't you finish your coffee? And I was watching the canoe ride at Disneyland. And
around Tom Sawyer Island. Absolutely.
Around Tom Sawyer Island, the only guest-propelled ride in Disneyland. They just redid it in the Southern California one. And I saw the young guy from Disney. He was rowing really hard to get this boat that just pulling away from the dock. And he had his partner in the back. But most of the people weren't rowing. Some were kind of rowing. Some of the kids were kind of rowing against him. Like, how long is this going to last? Well, you know, he just got him off to the side. And then he stood up, turned around, and in about 90 seconds, he got this motley crew of Disney guests. And we've seen Disney guests, right?
Yep, absolutely.
He got them.
I'd be one time. Two times, three times.
He got them all rowing in the same direction. And it was just a matter of turn around. And he showed him, hey, this is your fun stick. And it was his paddle. And he showed him how to hold it, where to put one hand, where to put the other, how to use it. You push it forward, you pull it back. Because he said, there's three rules you got to know. Number one, if we don't row, we don't go. And he was singing it and he got him getting it. He said, two, don't splash. You know, the water used to be blue. It's not anymore. And people don't like it. And then finally, don't stand up in the boat. If only a fool stands up in a canoe. You know, luckily, I'm a trained fool. And he told him the rules. He goes, hey, we're going to paddle together. We're going to sing some songs to do that. Inevitably, we're going to get out of sync. And we'll take a break and we'll get back in sync. If we do this right, less than 10 to 15 minutes, we're around the island. And boom, you know, he got this group going where so often companies, they don't take that sort of time to get people on the same page. And they just assume everyone knows what to do and they'll find an oar and they'll know how to use it and know the rules. But inevitably, they cross the lines and they get yelled at. And just to get people on the same page so that the leader's not having to compensate for that is, you know, how do you, that changed my perspective on how do you get companies to do that? Because oftentimes it's like, hey, we got to go figure it out. And how do you get people?
It happens all the time. So industrial listeners and industrial companies listening to the Industrial Talk podcast, if you don't row, you don't go. And that means rowing in the same direction. And it's a great analogy that I see that happens all the time. I think in many businesses, but as an industrial business, I guarantee you're sitting out there and you're saying, geez, Alex, that's spot on. Because I know I am, and I've seen it in organizations where somebody's doing something, forcing the other one, and then the manager, director, they're doing a lot of work. But that's a great analogy. So one of the conversations that I want to have with you is that I'm a CEO. I'm a company. I'm an industrial company CEO. And what's keeping me awake at night? What do you think that is? What's that pain?
For a lot of people, it's that fear of failure. You know, if things aren't working, at night, your brain's literally chewing on everything that happened. It's doing a defrag. I mean, the old computers used to defrag.
Yeah, man, check that out. You pulled that out. It's like, I still think about, my solid state hard drive need a defrag? No.
There was a famous Northern Idaho tribe that talked about the solid state drive defrag
metaphor. Hey.
But, you know, your brain's going through that. And when something's not working, you know, there's nothing worse than kind of that, especially like the end of the year, like, oh man, here goes another year and we're stuck at the same spot. You know, there's nothing that Groundhog Day, that's a tough movie for me to watch because he's just like keeps going over and over. It's like, you know, if it's over and over, you either got to tune out or you gotta move on, but it can drive you nuts.
But maybe it drives you nuts, but I find companies, and this is living in Realville. I find companies they love wallowing in that type of culture. I have no idea. It drives me crazy, but I have no idea. But
I can explain it, and I can explain why.
Okay.
They grew up with families that with multiple people. Because this is a theory. I swear, people have this tolerance for dysfunction. And I think it comes from families. Because, you know, what do you learn in a family? We hate each other. We're going to have dinner on Thanksgiving and we're going to get through this, whether you like it or not. And there's like and some people have huge tolerance for dysfunction and they're completely fine with it. And so they don't want it to change because, hey, they don't have to do that much. They just kind of got to show up and go. And so we are trained. Families aren't like, hey, we all need to get on the page with our culture, what's important to us. It's kind of like, hey, we're all in this boat and you better stick it out or you're just a bad son.
Very good. You know? Yeah, that's interesting because I mean, you're absolutely, and I like it, there's a tolerance for dysfunction. And then all of a sudden you just, that tolerance, you don't even know it's dysfunctional. You're just sitting there. So So what,
and we learn if dad's a little off his rocker, we learn like, you know, you don't want to go there with dad. And there's times you especially don't want to go there with dad.
Hey, I'm a dad. I've never had that conversation with my kids.
I'm a dad. I was also a son, and there were times when I said stuff to my dad that I was like, nah, you didn't want to go there. And my daughter just this week, she said something to me very nice, but she was clearing her dish and she was putting the food in the trash can, and I didn't even ask her. No one asked her. She's actually doing it. She's 10, but she's putting the ketchup into the trash can. Right. Uh-huh. And I'm like, you know, it's going to make everything stink and you're getting it on the floor. And she goes, you know, dad, that was kind of rude. Just the way you came at me. Yeah. And I was like, you know, you're right. And I could have gotten upset, but I looked on the bright side. She was doing the right thing in terms of bussing her dish and that. She just needed a little help on what ideal is.
And she slapped you upside the head, and then you found the errors of your way, and then she still put the ketchup in the garbage can?
She made her point. She said that was a little rude. We've been working on how I express myself, because I'll often express myself kind of quickly. And so trying to be more sweet to a daughter and that, and probably different to a son, right? So she has a code name. She goes, when I say something a little short, she just goes, sweetness, dad. And that's kind of like the cue, like, hey.
Yeah, back off, old man. Back off.
Yeah, let's slow down here. Hey. And
okay, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to have to break. And I want a couple of things before we break. If you don't row, you don't go. So you, industrial business, industrial professional, if you don't row, you don't go. So rowing in the right direction is always important. The pain I see out there, and I agree with 100%, is failure. Everybody's concerned about failure. And so failure is a crippling sign that you're not moving forward. And well, it's the worst thing that can happen. And then finally, I like this quote, is tolerance for dysfunction. So on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit about solutions and how do we get past the tolerance for dysfunction, start rowing in the right direction, and then not fear failure. So thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, the Industrial Talk Podcast has a new sponsor by the name of ASG Energy. Now, this company helps private companies as well as public organizations of all sizes reduce energy costs through the use of commercial LED lighting technology and electrical services. Now, you know me. I'm a big fan of LED just because, well, first off, I don't have to change the lights, but on a commercial basis, oh my gosh, the energy savings is phenomenal. The reduction in maintenance costs, phenomenal. Return on investment, quick, it's incredible. And the environmental benefits, self-explanatory. So you have any questions about LED commercial lighting? You need to check out my friends at ASG Energy, LLC.com. Find out more because they know what they're doing. So check them out. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We are talking with Alex Vorobyev, and he is the founder of Alex Vorobyev Company. And that's, if you're out there on YouTube, you can see the little picture of him. Right, we're videotaping this. How about that for an age? Videotaping. There's no tape. So don't even think about it. Don't even talk to me about it. There's no tape. I already accept that. Now, we went through a couple of things, and I want to make sure that we've got it. If you don't row, you don't go. That's important. I think everybody out there understands that, and everybody's been in a canoe at one point or the other, and everybody's felt that frustration when nobody rowed in the right direction. Pain of failure, okay? That's tough. That's got to be all mental. And then finally, tolerance for dysfunction. Companies who just sort of wallow in that frustration year after year after year, making some maybe incremental changes here and there, but nothing really monumental. So now that we've just covered that, now that we've explained the pain, and let's talk a little bit about that pain relief. I'm dealing with it. I'm frustrated. Talk to us about what you do to provide a little pain relief in that particular scenario.
Sure, Scott. I think for the listeners, Industrial Talk, it really doesn't matter whether you own the business, lead it, or just work in it. It's what I found the dysfunction, one of the core parts of the dysfunction, were that important questions weren't answered. They're just unanswered, and people were answering for themselves. What do you mean by important questions? What do we do? Why do we exist? What's the most important thing right now? If you got a meeting of people and they don't agree on what the most important thing is, then when they go back to their office, they're working on different things. As a team, I mean, what I've learned as an only child is business is a team sport, and it's about coordinating efforts. And if you don't agree, we can't multitask. I mean, the evidence is coming out there. You gotta be able to coordinate efforts. And that means, are we rowing in the same direction? So what's most important right now? Is it to go around the island, or is it to go which way?
So that I have clarity, I want to make sure that we're talking about pulling everybody together. We've recognized here, I am the CEO of Big Thinking, and I realize my company is really struggling. We're in a dysfunctional state. Something's not right. I don't feel comfortable. You'll come in, pull everybody together, and then we start to talk about what's important.
Well, and a lot of people are listening, like, you know, I can't pull everybody in, or it just doesn't make sense for me to do that. You don't actually have to do that. The first step is just start asking questions, objective, truth-seeking questions, because the way everyone's brains learn and the way they accept things, it's when they come to their own conclusion.
Now, in terms, these questions, are you saying that I'm going to go around and I'm going to maybe, I can't get everybody in a conference room right now, but I can sure go around point, 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 point. And do you structure these questions in light of the type of company you're dealing with?
I think it's the type of situation. It might be when you're working on a project, you're having a project meeting. Let's say you're just a member of the team and there's some conflict on what's the priority in that. And asking that question, well, what is the most important thing right now for this project? Just having that question. I don't recommend going around with a list of questions and asking everybody and do we agree? But at the right moment, really listening, and at the right moment, asking the right questions. You know, who's responsible for this? We can talk, we need to do this, we need to do that. Okay, well, who's going to do that? And there's a number of questions you can look at. I recommend Patrick Lencioni's book, The Advantage. He's got 6 simple questions. But at the right time, asking. And sometimes it's a business. One of the good questions he has is, why do we exist? Which really gets to the purpose of the company. Right. And a lot of times when you're struggling on a project or something, or a decision on whether to keep something going or not, you know, well, why do we exist? And so it's listening. And a lot of times people are searching. There's a quite unanswered question, a bigger unanswered question, when something's hard that shouldn't be that hard. You know, do we close this factory? Well, what is important to this business to succeed in the long term? You know, if you don't have those answers, every decision on the perimeter of the business becomes harder and harder. And if you're not running the business, even if it's just your cubicle and you got a department of one, start answering those important questions for your department and having those conversations with other people around that.
But that comes from the top, right, Alex? It just has to be driven by the top.
You can't change a company's culture from the bottom up, but you can change your department's culture, and you can get, if you do it in the right way, you can spread it. And you don't want to create subcultures that are competing. But when you get people on the same page in one department and start asking good questions, people see it. It does have to come from the top. You can't change it from your cubicle necessarily, but small changes can start to occur and people can see, hey, they're answering important questions. How would we answer that in our department?
Right.
And that can kind of spread, like, well, it really depends on what is the inevitably it gets really quick to the company level. What's really important for the company right now? What's the most important thing?
Yeah.
So many times it's just competing priorities by department.
Right. I'm telling you, I've been in organizations, and if it doesn't come from the top down and defining that purpose, that noble purpose of why you are and what is it, why do we exist, right? As quoted by that book, The Advantage, why do we exist? I think that's just foundational. And if you don't have a question, if it's like, we exist to dig ditches, we exist to change pumps out, it's got to be more than that. Do you agree?
Well, this is that. This is the emotional gasoline for people, right? And if you say the purpose of the company is to enrich the owners financially, that doesn't necessarily get people up in the morning willing to go through brick walls.
Yeah.
Someone was quoting that story, Kennedy asking the janitor, what do you do at NASA? You know, what do you do? Well, I help people get to the moon. And that vision, and that everyone in the company has something there. And it can be as simple as just helping people live liberated lives. People within the company, their customers. It doesn't have to be changing the world, but it can make people's lives easier. Hey, we want to make the lives of our employees better and the lives of our customers better. But it does have to come from the top. And a colleague and a mentor of mine, David Chavez, and he's done work with a lot of companies changing. He always said, starts with purpose and vision, or purpose and values.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Go.
Purpose and, how do we behave? And that's got to come from the top, and it's got to be living. Everybody's been in companies where there's values on the wall, and they're in the bathroom, and they're dead words.
Yeah, and, no, I agree.
And so how do you get the upper level to see that? And that's by asking questions. That's by behaving in a certain way.
Okay, Industrial Talk, folks. Let's talk. Here we go. We're talking a little bit about purpose once again. I like that. We've got to say, why do we exist? That's a real important component when you're out there in an organization that is dealing with some level of dysfunction. And I think one of the things is, how do you achieve and move towards that liberated life, and liberated life in a company environment? Is that right? Does that sound like
absolutely the direction? Good. When you in liberating from dysfunction, I mean, all companies, when you don't have answers to important questions, and you're all in the boat rowing in your own directions, you're just getting sucked into dysfunction. It's a matter of time.
What is the biggest roadblock? That's all good. That's all wonderful. That sounds just peachy. But you know as well as I do, there are going to be roadblocks. What are those roadblocks?
It's in between your ears. It's the way our brain is wired. Our brain is wired. 99.9% of what we take in, we're taking in 11 million bytes of information a second.
How do you know that? Have you counted that? I don't even know that.
I got it from a neuroscientist. Dr. Dan Radecki. I went to class on neuro leadership. And
that's pretty cool.
And we only process, so 11 million bytes per second, all the visual, the sounds. And we only consciously process 40 bytes. So that's how we drive somewhere. And we're like, well, how do we get here? Well, we were talking on the phone, right? Your brain does it on autopilot.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's a neat little stat, man. Now all of a sudden I'm feeling a little hypersensitive now, and making sure that I see everything and I'm processing everything. And you too. I see you.
It'll slow you down.
It'll slow
you down when you try to. It's one of the reasons, I think you're out of the South, but it's one of the reasons why baseball players, I always remember, like Chipper Jones, right? In the playoffs, he would always seem to flub some, right? Because you're thinking about it more. You do so many things automatically, but as soon as you start thinking about it, it's not good either. And sorry
that's
to pick on Chipper. But
what's that?
Sorry to pick on Chipper, but...
Hey, that's okay. Chipper's fine. He's quite
he's
successful.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's okay.
He's okay. But the way the brain handles those 11 million bytes of information is, it's got a bunch of shortcuts. It sees the world a certain way, and it wants to get information back that lines up with that. When it gets because it doesn't have the energy or the time to process everything. So when it gets something back from the outside world, like, hey, we need to spend time fixing our culture. No. We got deadlines and numbers to hit. I don't got time to talk about culture.
Right.
The easiest thing the brain just automatically wants to dismiss it, ignore it, because that's quicker. It's got to move fast every second. So it's breaking through the fact that our brain does not want to deal with information that's not congruent on how we see the world. We don't like feedback. Our default state is not to like negative feedback.
Yeah. No, so let me ask you this. So when you say I'm establishing, and it makes sense. Now I'm seeing the picture here, and you correct me if I'm wrong. So you come in, you establish that clear, let's say, what are we here for? That purpose, you're clear. And you create those strategies that move the company forward, clear strategies that everybody says, yes, I'm all in. And because my intellectual capability, I can only process 40, bytes per second? Is that what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. 40 bytes? Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, if I have some clear cut objectives, clean purpose, and I'm all rowing in the right direction, then I'm more efficient at processing the 40 bytes per second.
So you go and establish these objectives and okay, let's go do them. How many times does it automatically happen first time out? Nick Saban, he's got his objective.
Oh, come on.
Right?
We're an SEC podcast and we're all Tigers. Can you use another person?
Well, excuse
Instead
me,
of Nick
he was
Saban,
a Tiger
LSU.
In the past. He was a Tiger.
Yeah, whatever.
This is coming from a California guy. I can actually remember that.
That's right. Not just that, a USC California guy.
So, but he had he laid out objectives. He's got a whole strategy and pyramid, but inevitably, he's never started out, I don't think, undefeated the first time in national champions first season out, right? He didn't at LSU. So you try something and it doesn't work. Now what do you do? Do you just run everything the same? That's where, okay, you try, it should work, but inevitably it's either the people, the processes, the product. What do you got to adjust? What do you got to train on? And that's dealing with the feedback that nobody goes undefeated from the start. They might get to that point, but inevitably you get setbacks. So what are you going to do differently? What inputs are you going to change in the future? And our brain's not wired for that. Our brain's wired for, let's try it again. Well, we'll just try it again.
Okay. But for me, we've created that. We understand there's a dysfunction that exists there. If we can come in and have a very candid conversations of defining the why we're here, that's important, and then be able to lay that out and have the will with all to be able to adjust if it doesn't go right. Just is. Right? And I don't care if I make mistakes. Nobody's dying, so I at least proceed forward, adjust when necessary. Is that correct?
Right. But it's one of the things is identifying whether or not it's an organization willing to examine things. There are a lot of organizations like we do things the way we've done things, and they don't want to examine things. One, because it's going to take energy. It's going to be hard. It's going to change the way they view the world, and their brain's going, no. So it's trying to identify, and for someone who's not leading a company, or even if you're going in to lead a company, finding out where an organization is beforehand. This is why I recommend to people when they're interviewing and they go, hey, you got a question. Oh, yeah, I got a question. What's the most important thing right now in this company? And you ask that to 2, 3, 4 people that are interviewing you. If you get different answers, now that's going to be it's more likely than not. If you get the same answer from people in different parts of the company,
we're rowing in the right direction.
Those emails and meetings have less friction to them because they agree.
Well, we got a hard break right here. We are talking to Alex, and we are going to, on the other side, talk a little bit about his book that's coming out, as well as contact information. So stick tuned to the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk podcast. Of course, we're talking to Alex. And I want to make sure that everybody sums it up. We've got this dysfunction. We have tools and techniques that we can deploy because Alex has been so gracious in explaining his strategy and be able to at least get the organization rowing in the right direction. There might be need for adjustments and all of that good stuff, just like any business, because the reality of the industrial business, we want to bring in opportunities. We want success. And that's what makes having these individuals on the Industrial Talk podcast so important. Now, as I look at your stat card, I'm out there on LinkedIn, and I see that there's this confident ROI, and it looks like a book. Do you have a book coming out?
I have a book out. Transform Your Company.
Hold it. You have a book already out? It's in print?
It is in print.
Hold it. Let me just sort of, if you're out there on YouTube, and I'm looking around at all the books that I have behind me, he has my book, and it's in his hand.
Oh, is that what you're trying? And
it's in Idaho. Oh, shoot, it's not
my people
here.
Didn't send it to you, huh?
No, apparently not. So,
I didn't read.
So the book is Unleash Your Inner Supercomputer.
No, that's the magazine.
What's it? How come you have it on? Okay, show it up on the old YouTube there. Transform Your Company. Fantastic. You got to change that header over there. Uh-huh. In your LinkedIn, you got to change your header.
All right.
Because well, I can download your copy right now, but go ahead.
All right.
There it is. I got it. So tell us a little bit about that book.
Well, the book came from, it was inspired by the canoe incident. And I was working with companies when I clean up their financials, how to get them on the same page.
Yep.
And there were a lot of different tools out there already there. But there really wasn't an order. And what order to improve a business and what tools were right for what type of company. So that's why I started writing the book. And what I found in interviewing people and talking with different people that developed their own tools was that relationship with feedback and where to really start. And if you, the book talks you through in chapter 2, helping you find out your relationship with feedback. How good are you when you have a plan? Okay, it doesn't go according to plan. How good are you in terms of assessing what to do about it? And it gives you a little some couple simple exercise to find out if you got a good relationship with feedback. Because if you don't, the book tells you just stop. Nothing is going to work if you're not willing to step back and look at the feedback and make changes. Every business improvement tool out there assumes you're going to make the necessary adjustments, but so, we're actually wired not to.
That's interesting. So you might have sparked a lot of interest in that particular statement. Now, where would they get this book?
What, Amazon? Amazon, you can get it in print or in Kindle version, but you can also get it there, the Audible version and audio. If you haven't got enough of my nasally voice, you can hear 2 hours and 25 minutes of it. Or if you do it on faster speed, I think you can get it. Obviously you can get it down to like a minute or an hour and three quarters.
Oh, very good, man. That's pretty cool. Now, can you go out to your website? Where's that website at?
You go to confidentroi.com and there you can get to the book, you can get to the podcast, prior episodes, as well as audio version of the magazine. We do a magazine, Confident ROI magazine, both in audio, digital, and print. If you sign up there, you can get a copy in your hands.
So to sum this conversation up, if I were to connect with you either out on LinkedIn or whatever, all of the places that you, and I think you got a Twitter account, and then you, of course you've got the company Facebook, which is at Confident ROI, And if you guys are out there on YouTube, you can tell that he's got a mic and he sounds fantastic, even though he's nasally. That's his words, not mine. I'm perfectly happy with his voice. So you're pretty responsive when it comes to those LinkedIn and connecting, right?
Absolutely. I got a button there, too, that says, "Hey, Vorobyev," and if you want to throw me a question, happy to do that. I've actually finished my consulting practice in terms of taking on new clients, and I'm focused on finding a business to purchase and to implement the concepts I've been working on helping other companies do that. And so, but happy when people have questions, "Hey, what should I do? I'm in a company." Happy to help out in terms of giving you some ideas and some concepts, you know, some good first steps and what you can do without maybe losing your job.
I've got to tell you, man, there's win-win-win all the way around. And before we go, two things I want to ask you. Give us a recommendation on a book.
Recommendation on a book. The Advantage is an awesome book in terms of clearly laying out a way to develop a competitive advantage in today's world. And that's by coordinating people's effort, and Patrick Lencioni.
Very good. And the last one, give us a parting shot for the listeners so that when they leave this conversation, they're a much better position than they were when they first started out.
Money is a byproduct of excellence. I just heard that quote. I think it was from Ray Dalio in his book Principles, but, It rang true that you're excellent at something, the money will be a byproduct. And so often we get focused on the money versus how do we be excellent in what we do, and that'll lead to the result we want.
Well, I got to tell you, I like the wow. I like the exceeding expectations. You're absolutely correct. I can't agree with you more. Alex, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I know that it's you're living in God's country out there. That's a beautiful. That's Alex Vorobyev. You got it again.
Baby. Awesome.
I'm telling you, man.
Awesome.
Outside, I feel, you know, every time I say the last name, I feel a little worn out, and I feel like I got to just sort of relax.
You get nervous.
I feel like, oh, my gosh, oh, the shoulders are a little stressed. But
you're using the wrong part of your brain, right? You got to let it flow.
I'm having a hard time even processing the 40 bytes. When I look at your name, it's like everything shuts down because that's all of my processing.
I have that effect on people. At least my name does.
Very good. Hey, thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast there, Alex. And you, listeners, stick tuned because we're going to wrap this show up. Thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Well, that was Alex Vorobyev, and I really appreciate it as I butchered his name at the intro of this particular podcast. And if you're out there on YouTube, you can see that I'm holding a little pup. Her name is Lily Rose. She was abandoned with her siblings just roaming around on the street when we were delivering food on Christmas Day. So we were blessed to be able to find this little pup, and she's just an absolute sweetie. That is Lily Rose as she chews on my hands, which I'm not going to train her to do, of course. But anyway, thank you very much, Alex Vorobyev, for being a part of the Industrial Talk Podcast, as well as thank you for you all out there for watching and being a part of the Industrial Talk Podcast, because we're all about you. So go out to industrialtalk.com, right? Look around the website. It's got some stuff for you. Okay, so there's going to be a pop-up, and the pop-up is just me videoing and bloviating it once again about the value of the Industrial Talk Podcast. So we are out there on LinkedIn. We're out there on Facebook. We're out there on all the other platforms. And if you can't get a hold of me, you're not trying hard enough, because I am out there. So I want to talk to you. I want you to know a little bit about you. And if you want to be on the show, get on the show. Talk to me. Get a hold of me. So anyway, be safe. Have a wonderful week. And I will be talking to you tomorrow.